Now our story continues. In his attractively furnished office, Dr. Martin Larrabee, glancing at his desk calendar, saw the name Mary Lane written in the space reserved for 10:30. And at this same moment in Wakefield, Aunt Mary Lane, on her way to Huntsville to see Dr. Larrabee, parked her car in front of the Porter building and went up to her son's office on the second floor. As she enters, she is greeted by her niece, Peggy Meade.
Oh, my father's folks, what are you doing in town?
Well, you sound as if I shouldn't be here.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
Miss Randers.
I haven't the slightest idea. I was a few minutes late this morning. Though when I stopped at Perry's for an extra cup of coffee, and when I got to work, I could tell that Randy had been in the office, but he didn't leave any indication of where he'd gone off to. That's a fine way to treat your secretary, don't you think so?
It looks to me as if you're going to have to take your boss in hand.
He may condescend to wander in here before it's very much longer.
Well, I can't wait. I have an appointment.
Is there any message I can give him?
No, dear. I just stopped by to say hello.
I'll be sorry he missed you. Oh, sorry, Aunt Mary, did I tell you? The Lane Realty Company is in business.
Huh?
I mean it, really. Randy's going to build a subdivision. The deal's on the verge of being all set.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
I'm serious.
But what's happened to your idea of building a model house?
Nothing. It's working out. You know, David said the bank could help Randy finance it if there was a way to avoid the heavy cost of an architect's fee.
I know. And, of course, that's the stickler if Randy is to build something new and different.
Don't worry. He's going to. That is, if he ever decides to come to the office and learn about the architect's plan he's going to get for free.
What?
I told you, Aunt Mary. Don't you remember I said I read in one of the big women's magazines that they commissioned a famous architect to design an ideal house and that they were going to publish the plan and that I was going to write to them?
Of course I remember. You mean that you've already heard from them, don't you?
I have. Here's the letter. And from the editor himself.
Well, this looks like a long one. I haven't much time right now, Peggy.
Well, I can give you the gist of it. They'll let us have a set of the blueprints in advance. They'll let us be the first to build the house.
Providing what?
No provisions. No strings attached.
You mean they're letting you have the plans in advance? Just like that?
Just like that. And Randy said my letter wouldn't even get to the editor.
Oh,
and look at this. They sent me a sketch of the exterior and a floor plan in advance until the working plans arrived, see?
Oh, Peggy. That is good looking.
Mm-hmm. And look at this. Look at the way the kitchen is placed.
Mm.
Do you remember that night? Oh, it must have been a couple of months before Bill and I were married. Do you remember we were all in the kitchen?
Well, somehow that doesn't tell me much about which evening you have in mind.
Well, don't you remember? Bill and I were drawing house plans for fun. You and Lefty came in and made some hot chocolate. And Lefty and Bill were arguing about the kitchen and the plans Bill and I had drawn. Remember?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you settle the argument by not agreeing with either one.
That's right. Well, look here. This is just about the way I had the kitchen placed in the plans of our house. Oh, Mary, this is a wonderful design. It's almost identical to the house Bill and I have planned. Only I like this one even better. I almost hope Randy won't be able to sell it for a few years. Not until Bill and I can afford to buy it.
By then, you'll probably want something entirely different.
Uh-uh. Not in your life. This one's for me. Look at me. Look what those diamonds went into the living room.
Yes, I see.
No, you don't. What's the matter? Why aren't you interested? You seem sort of fidgety.
I am interested, darling. And I'm also fidgety. I told you I had an appointment, and I can't be late.
Oh, that's right. Where are you going?
To Huntsville.
That's nice. You haven't been over there in a long time.
I'm going to see Dr. Larrabee.
Well, have a good time. Give him all my love.
Give who all your love?
The long, the purchases, whatever you call them.
Oh, but I didn't. Oh, well, never mind.
What?
Oh, nothing. You're too absorbed in that dream house. Goodbye, dear. See you tonight.
Have a good time.
A good time? No, that certainly wasn't what Aunt Mary was anticipating. Quite on the contrary, she was rather dreading her interview with Dr. Larrabee. She would have given anything if she could have felt that it wasn't necessary. Now, sometime later, as she and Dr. Larrabee face each other across the psychiatrist's desk.
Is cigarette smoke objectionable to you, Mrs. Lane?
No, of course not, Doctor. Lefty's pipe has made me immune to almost anything.
Lefty?
Mr. Larkin. He lives with us.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, I remember hearing Randy mention him. By the way, I saw that son of yours just a couple of days ago. Ran into him here in Huntsville on Main Street.
Oh, well, shame on him for not telling me.
We didn't have much time for talk. Told me he was in town on business. He looked awfully well.
Yes, doesn't he? He looks well enough, but I just wish I knew how he felt.
What do you mean?
I'm in a quandary, Doctor. You remember when Kit Calvert was a patient here? when she discovered how Randy could help her and he was coming over here regularly. We had a little visit, you and I.
Uh-huh.
You wanted to warn me about Kit's growing attachment for Randy. You said she might fall in love with him.
Yes, and I think she did.
I know.
Frankly, I feel that was the greatest single factor in Miss Calvert's ability to stand trial, to accept her imprisonment, in fact, in her recovery.
I see. And you think she has recovered, Dr. Larrabee?
In my opinion, yes.
Mm-hmm. Randy believes that Kit's quite changed, but, well, in spite of his close association with Kit through her illness, I wonder if you really know her. If anyone does, you do, Doctor. You must.
Yes, having been Miss Calvert's psychiatrist for so many months. Imagine there's very little about the young woman I don't know, Mrs. Lane.
That's why I asked to see you, Doctor. I felt sure that your opinion would be accurate. Accurate and impartial. Do you think she's changed? Deformed?
You want to know whether or not I believe Miss Calvert has conquered the faults, the way of thinking, which made her such an obnoxious and selfish individual. Is that it?
Yes.
Well, that's quite a large order. If you could see her, well, that might...
I did.
When?
Just a short while ago. She's been writing regularly to Randy, and she asked him if I wouldn't come to see her. She talked very openly to me. She was very anxious for me to believe in her, Dr. Larrabee, to realize that she was a different person.
Well, that's understandable, considering how she feels about your son.
I know. And since I may be doing her an injustice, I've come to you because somehow I didn't believe her. I had a feeling that her talk about how penitent she was, how changed she was, were just so many words. Perhaps words said for my benefit. Did you give me your opinion, Doctor? Can you tell me whether you think I'm right or wrong?
Yes, I can. But first, I'd like to know why you're checking with me on this.
Because I think Randy may be in love with Kit.
Oh?
Yes. I'm not sure he is, but... Well, in any event, I think the time is coming when you'll ask me point blank what I think about Kit. And Dr. Larrabee, I won't be able to avoid answering. I didn't quite trust my own judgment of her. So that's why I came to you.
In other words, you want to know whether Miss Calvert is still a deceiver, a conniver, or whether she's sincere.
That's right.
You know, Mrs. Lane, earlier this morning before you arrived, I was thinking that you were a person of perfect balance. I should have amended this to say that emotionally you're as well balanced as it's possible for a mother to be.
I don't quite follow you.
You aren't one of those women who keeps her son tied to her apron string, thank heaven. But at the same time, you're subject to the very natural feeling of anxiety, even a slight touch of jealousy, which afflicts nearly all women when they have to confront the fact that a woman is coming into their son's life.
No. No,
I... You just said you had a feeling that Miss Calvert wasn't sincere. Well, I think you had that feeling, Mrs. Lane, because of the reasons I've just outlined. She has been something of an unknown quantity, and you have the natural desire to protect your son.
I think you're getting my motives a little more involved than they are, Doctor.
Perhaps I am. But let me ask you this. If I tell you that it's my conviction that Miss Calvert is a changed person, a sincere person, would that make you happy? Is it really what you want to hear?
Do you honestly believe that she is?
Yes, I do.
I see. Well, you said I wouldn't want to hear that, and I'm not sure just what I wanted to hear. But I will admit that I hadn't expected to hear you say that.
No, Aunt Mary Lane had expected the doctor to confirm her own beliefs regarding Kit. Several days ago, Aunt Mary told Lefty Larkin that she'd know better what to do about Randy after she had talked with Dr. Larrabee. Now, is she going to accept the psychiatrist's opinion? Well, how can she hold out when she is the only one now who doesn't believe in Kit? Or rather, the only one whom Kit hasn't taken in.